Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm Connie Alvarez, your host from Verrill, and today our guest is Mike Fine, CEO and founder of Wallet, the card-linked benefits platform and wellness wallet that makes work-life integration simpler, more productive, and more rewarding, something I think that we are all looking for. So today we're talking, you know, about Wallet's functionality, but more than that, I really am excited to talk to Mike because he and I have had multiple discussions about what the work looks like right now, what the work environment feels like, looks like, what are employees looking for, and how do we engage them in helping to achieve organizations' missions and purpose, and the way that since the pandemic, honestly, work has changed. Mike, thank you for being on the show. I'm so looking forward to this episode.
So am I. Thanks for having me, Tani. This is great.
Mike, you have a really interesting professional history. Would you mind telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself before we jump into Wallet and what it's doing for organizations across the country?
Yeah, sure. I've really split my career into two different parts, but it's always been starting new companies. The first part was for the first 12 years was as an entrepreneur. I would start companies for big companies like Fidelity Investments in Boston and then Mercer Outsourcing, which is also a Boston-based company. And it was always around businesses that were driving community, driving wellness, you know, health and benefits and financial services alike. The second part of my career has really been as an entrepreneur, and I've done all sorts of passion projects. I started a board game business with my little girls, my daughters. I was the CEO of a food service company. It was a coffee company that created cafes and integrated coffee roasting and a wholesale business, which is a lot of fun. So I've got a pretty broad background in a number of different areas.
So board games, coffee, finance. Tell me how all of this comes together to what you're doing now. You're currently the founder and CEO of Wallet. What's Wallet?
Yeah, so Wallet, as you mentioned at the top of this this meeting, is a card-linked benefits platform, and it's a wellness wallet. It's a wallet for employers to give to their employees to improve their overall well-being in a holistic way, not just your financial wellness, like a wallet you would think would do, but also as a way to help improve your mental and physical wellness. Financial anxiety is a big stressor at work, with almost, I think, primary research shows about 80% of the US workforce living paycheck to paycheck. They need help. And it's very difficult. So we built Wallet to sell to employers to give to their employees to improve their wellness. But at the same time, it's not just about wellness, and I hope we get into this topic, but it's also about helping those companies align their workforce around shared business objectives to achieve the business outcomes that the company has set for their teams.
So when you say wallet, I think a lot of people think finance, money. Is this only for helping people from a financial perspective, or is there more to this dialogue of wellness?
Well, it's a really, actually, you know, just a thought occurred to me just now. When you ask people, what do you do for a living? You know, they say, I do, you know, whatever it is their job function is. And you're doing that for a living to actually make some money to improve your life. And how do you do that now, especially with the pandemic, where the dust is settling from the pandemic, people are going back to the offices, but challenges for companies and for their teams, how do they balance work and life? How do they improve their work-life integration? A lot of companies, we start every conversation off with the fact that, as you said, work has changed forever. And a lot of companies that we talk to, almost all the companies that we talk to, are really struggling with the fact of how do they bring their teams back into their office in a safe way, in a way that not only safe, but a way that they can grow. And so it's very much about financial services. And I think one of the things that we're doing differently is thinking about the interconnectedness around financial wellness and how that affects your overall well-being in other areas, you know, fitness and your mental wellness, those, the state of mind. And so wallet that you care, that we all carry around with us every day needs to do more for us. And that's what we're building.
Mike, I think it's really interesting, all the things that you just shared about kind of the integration between how money plays a role in wellness generally. And I think the pandemic's kind of pushed most people home from this work from home environment. And I think that's also caused a necessary work-life balance discussion to occur, even though we've been trying to discuss it for decades. Did the pandemic drive Wallet, or where did the idea for Wallet come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. As we reflect back on it, it really was a multiple forces at work. I think the initial inspiration for Wallet came from my past experience being in the health and benefits and financial services space. It's something that I had been thinking about for a while, but we actually were incubating Wallet inside another company that I was running. And when the pandemic hit, you have to make some really tough decisions. And we were listening to some of the feedback from our customers, and it was a perfect opportunity to make that pivot to start selling to employers, not just around financial wellness, but as we mentioned earlier, just providing a holistic solution for those folks. And so we doubled down on this. And I think our timing couldn't be any better. Every conversation that we have with HR professionals and their company leaders is how do they create a playbook to bring people back to work in a flexible working model. It's on the minds of everyone, and it's a real issue. And we were just fortunate enough to be in a position where we had already started to build it. And the Tradewinds seem to be at our back, which is really exciting.
For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez. And today our guest is Mike Fine, CEO and founder of Wallet, the card-linked benefits platform and wellness wallet that makes work-life integration simpler, more productive, and more rewarding. We've been discussing what Wallet is and where the idea for Wallet came from. Like, it's interesting because you definitely have a handle on the market and the issues that HR personnel are facing when we talk about returning to the office. What are some of the challenges that you see that companies are dealing with as they look to begin to bring team members back into the office?
Well, I think there's so many to talk about, and it stems even pre-pandemic. It was already a challenge for companies to find the right combination of services to help their teams feel like they had the tools that they needed to be their most productive, happy selves. That's been an ongoing issue in the industry for decades. But the pandemic has really shined a spotlight on that, because as an HR professional, one of the biggest challenges is how do we figure out how to create a culture, invest in a culture, invest in the well-being of our teams when we have some people coming into the office now and some people actually working remotely, or some flexible model, of hybrid model of the combination of those two things. So how do we create a culture and a program that adapts to people where they are, that meets people where they are? So that's one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing. And then coupled with the fact that, you know, it's one thing to have a happy team with, you know, healthy, productive workforce. The second half of this challenge that we're seeing is how do you align those incentive plans, the rewards and recognition plans that are aligned with the business outcomes for the business? And those are the two challenges that we set to tackle. And those are really big and challenging problems. And Wallet, I think, does a really good job of consolidating and streamlining those challenges into one automated platform that not only helps the employer, but also helps drive wellness for the employees, and not just some of the employees, all of the employees, regardless of age or generation, gender or location.
I think it's interesting because one of the things in talking to a lot of companies that I heard over the course of 2020 is, you know, we were able to cut back on certain financial aspects of it because we weren't having, you know, full-scale lunches every other week or this, that, or the other thing. But the interesting part is from a long-term perspective, how do we go back to integrating with each other, having those discussions, the water cooler conversations that people are engaged in or involved in when they are working from home. And how do we make people feel as though they're integral to the goals that we are trying to achieve as an organization? Yeah. We talk a lot, you know, we talk a lot about there are generational differences, that there are differences in what people are looking at based off of multiple different diversity factors. I mean, when we use the term wellness, Mike, I think a lot of people think gym membership, sneakers, they think a yoga class within the organization, they think, hey, there's yogurt and granola that's available or fresh fruit. One of the things that I have found so compelling in our discussions is how Wallet looks at wellness. Can you discuss that a little bit? Because yeah. I think it's non-traditional in the most amazing sense.
Right. Well, I think one of the things we do that is different than most of the products that have been on the market previously and currently is we start with the employee first as a person. Person first, employee second. And what that basically means at the very highest level is that we want to give people the freedom to choose what makes sense for them when they need it and where they are. And previously, when we think about these types of programs, employee assistant programs, any of these types of programs that were considered a benefit, it was very difficult to have a one-size-fits-all type of solution where we would prescribe the benefits at the company level and then hope, you know, communicate and hope that the teams would use it. The challenge is that what you need and what I need and what everybody needs is different, not just because of who we are, but that point in our lives. And so creating a product that is flexible, that gives people the freedom to choose and removing that friction has made the world of a difference.
It's interesting because that idea of flexibility or choice, I think, has been a really difficult concept for a lot of organizations to accept or to institute, because there's this fear with senior management that staff or team members aren't going to make the best choice for the organization. Do you see, as we're moving back into this space where we're returning to the office, that organizations have started to accept or acknowledge that, hey, we can give this latitude and we've been giving this latitude for the last 15 months and it's going to help us grow?
Yeah. And I think that we are seeing a shift in thinking for sure, because what we had, right, if you were a 6,000 person company, because of the pandemic, you went from either one or a few offices to 6,000 offices. And I think what we found was, as an entire, you know, race, is that we found that people are actually, they're more productive in these flexible work arrangements than many people thought possible. And I think that in order to be able to give people the flexibility, not only where they work, but when they work, we also need the benefits that are going to match those diverse needs so that they do have work-life integration. And that doesn't mean that they're always working from home. That could also mean in the office. You think about the benefits that we gave some of these large companies like Google. You know, they've got these major complexes where they're, you know, bringing in catered lunches, catered kitchens, you've got manicures and pedicures, and some small to medium-sized businesses were trying to do those too. That's really hard to sustain, and it's expensive. It's nice, but it doesn't give you the freedom to choice. And, you know, someday maybe I do want a decent sandwich. Sometimes I need to, you know, take care of my parents that are aging, or maybe as a newborn, or maybe I just want to get a really cool pair of running sneakers because I want to start getting more physically fit after being cocooned and hibernating in my house for so long. So that freedom of choice is a really important distinction.
I think that's so important, because one of the things I think a lot of HR professionals have heard, whether it's in onboarding or whether it's in their recruitment efforts, is this idea of so what? Hey, we have hacky sack and shuffleboard at the office. Right. If you're not into that, so what? Hey, what do we offer? We offer beer on tap. And there's a lot of people who are now saying, so what? Mm-hmm. What we need in an organization, that flexibility to offer people what they're looking for, I think is so key and important. And I find it interesting that as we've gone to this remote work environment where people are really opening up their homes to their colleagues and showing how they work and how they live. We've seen this acceptance of flexibility from senior managers a lot more than we previously thought possible, considering at least the United States work culture.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's so many things of what you just said that strike a chord with me, Tani. I think, you know, the idea of having a fun environment where you've got ping pong tables or hacky sack, like you said, maybe there's beer taps. I think people are realizing I don't need that. I want to be a part of something larger than myself, and I want to stay connected and feel appreciated to my teams. And this is why we have this drumbeat of talking about how benefits should be connected very specifically and measurably to business outcomes. And it's about matching. So I think that's a tweet, right? Matching, you know, connect benefits to business outcomes, but do it in a way that helps people improve their well-being where they are. The analogy, another way to think about it is like when you go to work for a company and you talk to the HR and you're part of that onboarding process and they talk about how great their health plan is. Oh, our health plan is awesome. You're going to really love this health plan. We've got thousands and thousands of doctors. And you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, I'm sure we've all done this. Like, that's great. You've got thousands of doctors, but do you have my doctor? Again, it's about freedom of choice. I want to choose who I want to work with to improve my well-being. So apply that same logic to everything, not just your 9 to 5, but your 5 to 9, your entire 24-hour existence to improve your well-being so that you have the energy to be your most productive self at work. And when you're not at work, when you're with your family or doing what you want, because it's all meshed together.
With that, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than 7 generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across 7 offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and today our guest is Mike Fine, CEO and founder of Wallet, the card-linked benefits platform and wellness wallet that makes work-life integration simpler, more helps employees be more productive, and is more rewarding. Before the break, Mike, you and I were talking about this idea or concept of a whole person. And when we're hearing it more and more, when we're talking about retention of employees and recruitment, and specifically when we're talking about diversity and inclusion efforts, as we're attempting to recruit top talent, whether it is from other organizations, our competitors, whether it's from training programs, whether or not it's from educational institutions. One of the things that you mentioned before the break was this idea of benefits to business outcomes, how we are able to use different programs or processes in order to help us achieve the business outcomes. I mean, what do you foresee some of the challenges in the future as we operate in more of a flexible working model? I feel like a lot of people, you know, we're thrown into this in March of 2020, and we're now 15 months into this kind of idea of flexibility, remote work. What will we foresee the next challenge being from an operational standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think they need to be shared, right? It can't just be what's the challenge for HR, what's the challenge for finance, what's the challenge for operations. I think we all need to find ways, solutions that are going to align the company around these key challenges. And one that you've mentioned, and I think it's something that everybody thinks about, it's a perennial issue, is just talent. How do we attract and retain great talent, especially when you think about how the future of work is now remote, or at least in a hybrid working model where you could have an office in the United States, but hire people outside the United States. And maybe the rates are better, whatever it is. It's going to be very difficult to attract and retain the right talent. So that's going to continue to be a really big challenge. And having the right quote unquote benefits are going to matter. And that's why, you know, you start thinking about having a flexible platform that gives people the freedom to choose where they are, meets them where they are. Is important. And then we really think it's not just finding the right talent. It's about making sure that those people feel connected, that they belong to part of this company that has an attractive mission, that they feel like they're included. And this is why the benefits to business outcomes is so important, is that, you know, your comment about the hacky sack and making sure you've got fun working environments. We always used to joke it out, and we still do at our company. Fun isn't throwing the Frisbee in the parking lot at lunch. Fun is actually closing new business, launching new products, solving problems together, and then being recognized and rewarded in a way that's material that improves our overall well-being and happiness. And it's a matter of trust between the company and the teams themselves and amongst themselves. And having a wellness program that does that 360 degrees is really important.
That idea or concept of trust is, I think, an interesting one, because it's one that we don't hear talk a lot about when we're talking about HR, recruiting or retention, especially for me as a lawyer, where, I come down and I'm getting a lot of questions recently about vaccinations and do we require proof or do we allow this, that, or the other thing? Mm-hmm. And really what so much of the employer-employee relationship comes down to is that concept of trust. Mm-hmm. Do you need documentation, or do you trust that the individuals who are on your team are being responsible, respectful, that they are doing what they say they're going to do when it's due, when it's necessary, that they're going above and beyond? And it's interesting that it hasn't until, I believe now, come to the same location when we're talking about benefits and when we're talking about whole person and how somebody brings their whole person into the work environment. I mean, we've seen lots of studies that talk about different work cultures and how in some organizations, individuals can get done in 4 hours what it takes other people 8 hours to accomplish, and they have the same skill set, but something about that organization's culture is driving people to perform at another level.
Yeah.
In your experience, and I mean, you've worked at a number of different organizations, you've started, lots of different organizations. Are there tools and technologies that you believe exist to help companies to invest in culture, and specifically employee wellness?
Yeah. And I think you're seeing more and more. So as more and more companies are coming to the market, it's actually creating a problem too for HR managers. There's no way they could possibly have the resources to assess all of these tools, let alone deliver and support them. But this notion of trust, as I think the question started off, is really important. And if we stand back, all of us stand back and think about where we are in this cycle of the pandemic, we have an amazing opportunity to really continue to build trust. The last 12 to 18 months was really about making sure that everybody was safe, right? You're not coming into the office. We need to make sure that you're safe in your home. And then now, as we're all getting vaccinated, I think that there's another opportunity around building trust. So we continue to embrace that notion of safety. Safety means, doesn't mean growth, right? Safety means status quo. And as we think about building trust and moving forward together, it's about providing the benefits and the wellness services that's going to make those people feel like they can trust their company wherever they are, what makes sense for them. A lot of people are questioning going back into the office. No one had to deal with commutes, for example, right? So I think in the worst example, where attrition is at its highest, and if we forget about the bad boss or bad management, we've all had bad bosses. But if you think about lack of purpose or meaning, lack of alignment or involvement, lack of feedback, rewards, or recognition, lack of collaboration or teamwork, right? Or maybe being overworked, or the opposite of being overworked, you're bored, right? This notion of connecting benefits to business outcomes is a drumbeat for us, because that's how you build trust. By creating the tools that let people be their best selves, being people first, employees second. And that means that you actually have to bring your kids to school and not have to worry about rushing into the office to be there before everybody gets there so they can see that you're there, then that's part of it, right? Or if you have to leave early to catch a soccer game or whatever it is, that's, you know, these little baby steps to create trust in a new working model that we're all looking to try to create for our companies.
So, Mike, it's interesting because a lot of the things that you just mentioned when we were talking about culturally someone's needs, they're all foundational needs, these ideas of trust, of wellness. So in the past, we haven't seen it as much within organizations or organizations focusing on. And I think the pandemic itself has required employers to focus on health, safety, trust. When we're moving away from kind of some of the pandemic restrictions, but we're seeing remnants of the pandemic and how it's shifting how we move forward. How does Wallet then come in and help employers to achieve those retention goals, helping employees feel as though their needs are heard or being responded to?
Yeah. Okay. So we do this in a number of different ways. Let's start off with what life used to look like before the pandemic. We'd all come into the office. We probably had catered lunches a few times a week. We had a full service coffee or snack bar in the office. Maybe there was a single subsidy gym or fitness membership nearby the office. All of those services start to accumulate, and they're burdensome to accumulate. They're hard to administer, and the utilization was really low. And that's largely because only a small percentage of the teams need those various services. It could be pet care, it could be family care, it could be whatever it is. And it's very difficult to get those services to match the needs of everybody at any given point in time throughout the period, the week, the day. And so what Wallet does is we created a platform that allows their employer to create what we call as a well space. And I think this is a really good time to just quickly say how we do it. So you create a well space, and the company is actually picking a monthly allowance and a set of categories, wellness categories, for their teams to spend against that allowance. The teams come to Wallet, sign up for Wallet, and link their existing debit card, right? There's no complexity in your wallet anymore. You have a card, use your card, we'll turbocharge that card. And what we do is when you spend the card on the card the way you normally would throughout your every day-to-day, we automatically validate and reimburse against those categories. And it's instant. And you get to now choose what makes sense for you throughout that given day, whether they're work-related. There are always work-related expenses for sure, but it's also things that are helping you tie back to make you more productive if you need to recharge or energize yourself.
I think one of the really interesting things is that concept that it's individualized as to what the person needs. You know, we've talked about hacky sack and beer on tap, and that for some people, that's not what helps them recharge, but it could be a smoothie that's going to do that. It could be a more traditional gym membership or going to a class. What happens if what you do to recharge is larger than a smoothie? What if it's, I really want a Peloton, or the only way I'm able to recharge is a week in the Caribbean with my daughter? Does Wallet help an employee who's looking or needs to recharge in that way?
Yes, Wallet can. And again, this is giving the tools for the companies and their HR teams to be able to create and customize a program that makes sense for their culture. So if you're a company that says, no, we really do care about your happiness, think about the issue at most companies today with vacation accruals. Right? We watch these vacation accruals get larger and larger and larger. That's because people are working harder and harder and harder. That is a potential issue for burnout. And so whether you're an HR person looking at that, or even a CFO looking at that, you're looking at saying, okay, we have an issue here. Our vacation accruals are increasing. take some time off for yourself. Wallet actually now enables them to do that. So you can actually use Wallet to create a savings goal. You can even apply your employer funded allowance for wellness to that goal. And if that's what that company needs and that's what that person needs, that they can do that. But it's not something that you have to do all the time. You might change it. You might change a savings goal. Maybe you do want a Peloton. So you can, if you are working 100% from home and you need to actually work on your physical fitness, that's a great way to do it. Wallet enables that too.
As we continue to work remotely, or some people may have always been working remotely and are going to continue in that capacity, I think we've seen some organizations that will have a partial remote, a partial return to work type atmosphere. I mean, is Wallet simply helping individuals or organizations to track some of this spending or use and kind of use it as a wallet from a financial perspective? Or is there also an employee engagement aspect to it where they can engage with each other?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. It's actually two parts. I think the first part is really significant in thinking about how benefit programs are really hard to get data. As an industry, having the proper tools and the data to make really good decisions has been lacking. And so one of the things that we hear as a recurring theme from HR professionals is, are the benefits that we are extending matter? We understand adoption and utilization, but actually, are these services making a difference in the lives of our workforce? With Wallet, you have access to that data. You have access to the data from not only the utilization aspects, but where they're spending, how they're spending, both quantitatively and qualitatively. So people can use Wallet to talk about and think about what's well-being for them and how it can improve their colleagues' well-being by talking through things as simple as, hey, that's a great restaurant down the street from the office. Let's go try that, you know, when we have a break, things like that. And I think that those are the types of service that's going to be the future of work. This future of work-life integration, and we're positioning Wallet to be that platform that drives that. It's like we call it Wallet OS, the operating system for the future of work-life integration. And I think it's not just enabling those rewards and recognition capabilities, but it's also allowing the teams to assess whether or not their programs are actually making a difference.
It's interesting because as you were talking, I started thinking a conversation that I had last week. And it was in jest that the client made the statement, but what they said was, yep, we're going to bring people back 3 days a week, and I'm buying a water cooler, and we're going to set the water cooler off right in the middle of the office, yeah. And I'm going to make sure that two of our meetings today are everyone standing around that water cooler and having that time, and then we're all going to go back to this remote environment. And I know he was saying it in jest, but in part, he was talking about the fact that he needed a platform or a way in which some of those connections could come back into the office after the last 15 months because it was clearly lacking within the organization. And to me, it's really interesting as you talk about Wallet that it has that dimension, that it has that area and space where our employees, our team members can be engaging and interacting with each other in that same water cooler type fashion.
Yeah, I think it's important to have. The thing that's been lacking for so many people is that feeling of connection. And it's not like, oh, I need to listen to this, you know, how everybody watched a certain program on TV last night. It's just being in the same room and talking about the company initiatives and just being there and just being part of that culture that you're creating. I mean, especially for young people, you know, a lot of times people are going to work because this is where they're going to meet their friends and their significant others. And so people miss that. And then whatever we can do to help bring people back, not only in a safe way, but in a way that's going to give them the permission to be ambitious around those business outcomes. And that's really where our focus is. And as we think about the vision for Wallet, how do we enable those types of interactions on an individual level, at a team level, and then ultimately at a company level?
Mike, so many really great points there. But with that, we are at that time where we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Connie Alvarez, and today our guest is Mike Vine, CEO and founder of Wallet, the card link benefits platform and wellness wallet that makes work-life integration simpler, more productive, and more rewarding. You know, prior to the break, for those who are just joining us, Mike and I are having a large discussion, I'd say, about this idea or concept of returning to work and returning as your whole person. One of the things that I have really been talking more and more to people about, especially during the pandemic, is this idea of covering and the fact that our employees so often were covering or hiding. And I say hiding, but it wasn't purposefully hiding who they were, what they enjoyed doing outside of work, their family, the things that inspire them and make them who they are. One of the things, Mike, that I really enjoy about Wallet and the idea of wellness behind Wallet is the fact that we're allowing employees to uncover and really use the benefits that the employer is providing for what motivates them, for what they find be compelling. And one of the really cool aspects that I found was one of the things that drives people is giving. It might not be that they want the benefit for themselves. Does Wallet help people if their love language or what motivates them is giving to others? Is charity, is that type of engagement?
Yeah, it is actually. It comes up quite frequently. When you think about this wellness allowance, the allowance can be divvied up a number of different ways. And oftentimes what we see is people peeling off a piece of that allowance to give to others, things that matter to them and or their family. And the way Wallet works is basically matching any debit card related transaction to categories that the company has picked. And so as companies think about the culture that they want to give to their teams and create for their teams, charity is one of those categories that a company can select. So we're seeing that. And I love your comment about the covering piece too. I'd love to dig into that a little bit more. I think I understand what you mean, but it is an interesting concept that I think comes up quite a bit when we start thinking about diversity and inclusion and types of programs that we have at the workplace.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things that I've talked to a lot of social scientists, HR consultants, I mean, I think it runs the gamut about the fact that for decades, I mean, going all the way back historically, we're a society in which there is an expectation of what success looks like. And that sometimes it's very difficult for an organization to break out of that. When we've talked about creating tools and resources that are helping us identify the most successful people within an organization or the people who are most efficient and effective, that bias comes into that. And I think one of the really neat things about Wallet is that bias is taken away. So when you have leadership or HR representatives who think one thing, who say, you know what's going to attract and retain our employees is pet insurance. Pet insurance is what is going to attract millennials and Gen Z. That's what they want because all of them are humanitarians and they're waiting to have children, but they have these animals. So if we give pet insurance, that's going to attract all of the people that we're looking for. But that concept's based off of a stereotype, right? And likely our own internal bias. So the cool thing I think about Wallet is it really takes stereotypes and biases from your senior leadership team out of the mix, because we're going directly to the source. What do you want? What engages you? Talk to me about where that idea even came from, where we take out the middleman to determining what wellness is like.
Yeah, well, it's hard to place. So many factors have contributed to how we've been building out this platform. I mean, some of these principles I apply in my daily life with my family. I mean, I think an interesting thing about trust and control, when you give up control, you actually get control. And if you trust people enough and give them the permission to succeed, amazing things can happen. Think about our own kids. You know, you give them, you know, you need to put the guardrails in place so they're safe, but then you want them to go as fast as they can. And so, you know, giving people the permission to do that, giving them the tools to do that is really important. And I see no difference between that and the people that work with me at my company. We're all professionals. We're all on the same page. They have a job to do. I have a job to do. We have different lanes that we're in, but we all trust each other because, again, benefits need to connect with business outcomes. And if we're all clear on what those business outcomes, and we're all enabled to bring ourselves to work and actually have the tools and an allowance and the benefits and being rewarded and recognized for being our best selves, aligned with those business outcomes, amazing things can happen. And that's what's happening with Wallet. Everybody carries a wallet, right? Everybody's wallet's different. What we keep in our wallet is entirely up to us. We don't show it to people. It's very personalized. All we're doing is digitizing an analog wallet that we carry with us to work and from work. And we're making it useful for the first time.
So many, I think, important parts when we're talking about retention and diversity, and the fact that when we're talking about trust, I mean, this fits within what individuals and what our employees are looking for, and helping to trust them to use the money for what they most need, want, or desire. When we talk about retention, does this play a role? I mean, we talk about diversity, we talk about inclusion, but in order to have inclusion, retention is something that's really important. How does Wallet fit in or play a role with an organization's retention goals?
Yeah, right. It's a scale. Retention's on one side, attrition's on the other side. And if you think about these companies that are in industries with high turnover, right? Morale is really low. Traditionally, those are hospitality, restaurant, retail type industries where you have senior management and then you've got this entire workforce. And a lot of them are hourly wage employees. And I think if you give them an allowance that actually helps them in a way that, you know, whether that is, you know, travel allowance for getting back and forth to work or whatever it is, it makes a big difference in people's lives, tremendous difference in people's lives. And what you're, and not only the money, but think about that message that we're sending to them. We actually care about your well-being. And we actually know that you have very diverse and unique needs that only you know about. And we want you to be able to bring your best self to work. So we trust you enough and we support you enough to be able to do that within these constraints and these guidelines. And so that's what we're doing. We're giving the teams the freedom to choose and giving the company the control to give them that optionality. And I think more companies that adopt not only just a flexible workplace, where and when you work, but actually the tools that do that, that connect the teams to the company and the outcomes that the company is trying to achieve, I think those are going to be the successful companies that are leaving the pandemic behind. It's not even opening up the new year. It's actually saying goodbye to the way it used to be, not just the pandemic, but the way the cultures and the way we used to actually think about administrating benefits. You know, even the notion of open enrollment once a year, there's no reason for that. That's an antiquated system. And we're trying to think about ways where we can actually add value on the ground immediately, not just to get implemented, but as you ongoingly manage your wellness and recognition programs.
And with that, I mean, there's a lot to dig into there still, but we're going to take a quick break at that time. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Farrell-Law.com. I'm your host, Tani Alvarez, and today our guest is Mike Fine, CEO and founder of Wallet, the card-linked benefit platform and wellness wallet. Now, we've spent the episode, Mike, talking about the features of the product, but we've also been talking, I think, more holistically about how work has changed and the ways in which an employer, a company, has to evolve and change with the changing culture and atmosphere. And after, or as a result of the pandemic, so many of us moved to working from home, and that remote work environment that I think many companies said couldn't happen, that we couldn't make it work. And it wasn't until our hands were forced that so many organizations did it. One of the interesting things I find about that transition and the transition that you and I have discussed today, which foundationally is that concept of trust, my mind goes back to help wanted ads, to what we see when we are advertising jobs. And at the bottom, and sometimes now at the top, it says benefits. And when we talk about benefits, there's that paid time off, reimbursement for X, Y, and Z, allowance for X, Y, and Z. And when we talk about wallet, my mind goes to how does that change how we advertise positions? Does it now say benefits? Tell us what you need. Because really, isn't that what Wallet's doing? It's saying, what are the benefits that are of value to you? And how can we provide them to you within X, Y, and Z parameters?
Yeah, that is an interesting idea where, you know, there's this bulletin board of things that people are doing. And now you're looking at an a la carte menu of anything and everything where you get, it's not just, this is what the company offers. The sky's the limit. And you're actually having some social proof because you're actually exposing the things that the team is actually doing. And you can say, well, that's interesting. This sounds like a really cool team. They eat at the same restaurants I do. They exercise at the same places I do. They like pets or don't like pets, whatever it is, to be able to actually do that. If you can extrapolate that even further, it really is interesting. And we just keep coming back to this notion that, you know, we're starting to move forward and leaving that past year of the pandemic behind us. Right? The vaccinations are on the rise and many states are lifting their mask mandate. And I think people are encouraged, but I also think that they're run down. I think a lot of people are worn down and they're looking for this change. And we've been dealing with this issue for a long time. And so I think, you know, we always talk about this new normal. Well, I'd like to introduce a new topic, a new phrase. How about a better normal? How about giving the teams permission to be their best selves, but giving the companies the ability to change their stripes? And to your point of offering the types of benefits that make sense and meet people where they are. That's a really interesting, motivating concept. And I think that the workplace has given us permission to never to be different and actually just, you know, become our best selves, get and then allow everybody to have the energy and to operate with urgency in a way that actually shifts to more of an acceleration mindset than a safety mindset.
I know we have some listeners right now who are thinking to themselves, honey, this is another one of your newfangled ideas, and we're just not there yet. But I want to leave listeners with a question. How many of you in the interview process have asked an applicant what their salary they're looking for, what pay that they need or want for the job? I mean, what I've heard today is a concept that's very similar, where we ask employees, what benefit are you looking for or do you need? So Mike, you know, with that, with me, I hope opening up some of our listeners to realize that these ideas or concepts aren't new, but they're ones that are finally kind of being brought to the forefront of the discussion. Any wise words of wisdom that you'd love to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think that I'm going to listen to this meeting that we had a couple of times because I really like some of the comments that you brought together. But if one thing that I think is going to be true forever is as much as all of our companies look and sound the same, they're all different. They all have different needs, just like our teams do. The problem is that our benefit options haven't kept pace. And what we're trying to do with Wallet is give teams the ability to create the culture and create the wellness programs that they want to try to give their teams to achieve their business outcomes. And I think that the one thing that we are all grappling with is how to bring our teams back to work, not just in a safe way, but in a way that scales as we accelerate and shift that mindset. And so it's really just giving yourselves permission, your team's permission to be their best selves. And we have an open invitation for people that see the world the way we want to see the world. And I look forward to getting to know more of your listeners. So thank you for the opportunity, Tanya. This has been great.
Thank you, Mike, so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Stay tuned for the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Doug Currier from Verrill. Today, I want to talk for a moment about keeping applicants honest. We understand people want the job. If they have something to hide, they were fired from the last job for misconduct, or they spent time in jail, or they do not necessarily have the required experience, they may be tempted to lie. Oftentimes, those lies do not surface until other problems with the new hire are being addressed. If you find out later that a person lied to get the job, can you choose to let them go now? Usually the answer is yes, but you need to remember three things. First, you need to have a record of what they told you so that you can show what they told you was not true. Second, your application or hiring materials need to reflect and inform the applicant that false statements will result in the end of the employment relationship. And third, you need to be consistent. Now, if you catch someone in a lie, but they have since proven themselves to be a strong employee, so you choose not to let them go, well, now you have a precedent that may be hard to ignore in the future. To further discuss questions about the hiring of employees, please contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.